Over the last several weeks, we've been studying faith. We've been studying faith, and faith is what pleases God. The Bible clearly tells us in Hebrews 11:6. Amen? Last week, we talked about faith bringing about emotional healing. Did you know that faith in God can bring about emotional miracles? Emotional healing. You may be in emotional distress today. Maybe you're depressed over some type of loss. Maybe a job loss, maybe a loss of a relationship, loss of finances. You might be depressed. But you know what? God can turn your sorrow into joy by faith in Him, just like He did for Job in the Old Testament. You might be experiencing turmoil on the inside today. Maybe your emotions are in a state of turmoil where you have no inner peace. Maybe it's because of a storm in your life today. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God, the God that we serve, is a God who brings us peace in place of turmoil. Amen? Peace in place of turmoil. He is a God who heals the human emotions just like He heals physical sickness and disease. Is that making sense today? Faith can bring about emotional miracles and healing in your life. We serve a God of miracles. We serve a God who makes the impossible possible. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. And so today we're going to talk about faith can bring about financial healing. We're on a study of faith here. Faith can bring about financial healing in your life. And you might be financially hurting today. Some of you out there, maybe a lot of you. Maybe your life is in financial disarray, and maybe you've got more month at the end of your money than money at the end of the month. Anybody ever been there? More month at the end of your money than vice versa? Okay. Perhaps you're in a tough place financially today due to bad financial decisions you've made in the past. Maybe it was a poor work ethic. Maybe it was starting a job, staying at it for 5 weeks, and then starting a new job and quitting it after 2 months, and then starting another job and staying there 1 month, and just not being able to be consistent at a job. And because of that, maybe you're in financial distress today. And maybe spending more money than you made. Maybe charging up credit cards, whatever it might be. Regardless of the reasons for your financial lack, I'm here to tell you today that the God we serve can heal your finances. Let me say it again. Regardless of the reasons for your financial lack today, the God that we serve can heal your financial situation. Do you agree with that today? If so, say amen. That's right. Okay. Not only can God provide for you financially so that your own needs are met, but I'm here to tell you today, He wants to do more than just provide for you. He wants to give you more than just provision. God wants to give you abundance so that not only your financial needs are met, but that the financial needs of those around you can be met as well. Look at Genesis chapter 12. You know, we're of the seed of Abraham. Would you agree? Right? He blessed Abraham so that Abraham could be a blessing. God wants to bless you financially so that you can be a blessing to others as well. Making sense? All right. Let's talk about some of the biblical accounts of material provision. Some of the biblical accounts of material provision. Did you know that Jesus and Peter were in financial need at one point? Jesus and Peter, the disciple, were in financial need at one point. They needed money to pay the tax collector. But Jesus, the miracle-working God, went about to perform a miracle in the life of Peter and himself. And He can do the same for you today because the Word of God says He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who provided materially 2,000 years ago wants to provide for you today, but not just provide so that your bills are met. He wants to provide so that you can be blessed and others in your circle of influence can be blessed as well financially. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Simple account, but it talks about the material provision that Jesus brought about in this situation. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 24. After Jesus and His disciples arrived at Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" Yes, he does, he replied. When Peter came to the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon, he asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? Verse 26. From others, Peter answered. Then the sons are exempt, Jesus said to him. But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. So would you agree that Jesus and Peter had a financial need in Matthew chapter 17 to pay a tax, right? All right. Would we agree that Peter had faith in Jesus? Why? Because he was a follower of Jesus. So Jesus said, Peter, go out, throw out your line, pull in the first fish, open its mouth, and in the mouth of the fish you will find the money to pay the tax collectors. And it's understood that because Jesus had faith in Christ, he went out and did exactly what Jesus told him to do, and the money was there to pay the bill. Jesus provided. The Jesus that did it for Peter 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus that can do it for you today. What is he looking for? What is God looking for? The same attitude, that spiritual quality that Peter had, which is what? He's looking for faith. Peter was a follower of Christ. Now, if you're not a follower of Christ today, God is not obligated to financially provide for you, to financially bless you. See, Peter was a follower of Christ. He had faith in Christ, and that's what God is looking for, is faith, knowing that you know deep down on the inside that he can bring about a financial miracle in your life. But it all begins with relationship with Christ. So Peter had faith. How many would agree? How many would agree that Peter did something with his faith? What did Peter do with his faith? He added action to his faith, right? He did, it's understood, we believe, that he did what Jesus told him to do, right? What did Jesus tell him to do with his faith? Anybody? It's right there. We just read it. He went fishing, he caught the fish, opened the mouth, and in the mouth of the fish was the money to pay the bill. Now, most likely, if you go trout fishing today, you're not going to find money in the mouth of the fish, right? It'd be nice, wouldn't you agree? And all things are possible with God. You might find money in the mouth of the trout, but most likely you're not. How will God's financial miracle and provision come about in your life? First, knowing that you know that you know, that faith deep down on the inside, that God can provide for you financially. Then he's wanting you to do something with that faith. What could you do with your faith? What's one of the things you can do? It may not be fishing like Peter did, but it might be what?
Obedience.
Obedience, okay. Maybe filling out job applications, would you agree? Going to interviews, starting the job, being consistent, being there on time, leaving when the boss says to leave. So that you're financially blessed, you know, getting those 30 and 40 hours a week and then receiving promotion as a result of your faithfulness. You see, that's adding action to your faith so that God can financially provide in your life. Give you provision and abundance, more than enough. The God that we serve is the God of not just enough. He is the God of more than enough. He is El Shaddai. Amen? You know, if he did it for others, friends, he can do it for you. He's looking for faith, and he's looking for action now. Personal story. We work on people's homes here in Tulsa. I have a business where we work on people's homes, and that's the way I pay my bills and set some money aside. And back in around September of 2007, my business was doing a little slim. I needed some more business. And it was doing good, pretty well the whole year, and I just needed some business in September of 07. And I believed on the inside that God could provide. And, you know, a lot of times I'll use my faith in my business when my business is slow, knowing that next week there will be work. Even if there's no work that Friday, I'm believing that next Tuesday, next Monday, there will be work. That's the kind of faith I have in God. Just knowing that I know that I know that God will provide. But I do something with my faith. And in this instance, back in 07, I did something with my faith. And I was part of this church here in downtown, small church that was meeting here in downtown, and they had a service Saturday. And we're going out and doing services on people's homes just as an act of love, God's love. There was this older woman who lived here and kind of on the border of downtown Tulsa, off of Peoria. Seems like she lived in the same house for 50 plus years. And she gave the impression of being poor and in need. So we went out and helped her one Saturday. Went out, spent a half a day there. We painted her porch for her. We prepped it, painted it, did some other painting for her. Just invested my time and my labors into this woman's life. Free of charge. Labor and material provided for. Well, the next week, the next week I get a call from a customer. And it was a big job. Now, the labor that we did on this lady's house was worth probably about $200. The next week, within a few days, I got a call from a customer. And the call ended up resulting in a job that was about 20 times as large as what that old lady's job would have cost if she paid for it. 20 times. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? See, I have faith in God. I had faith in God, and I have faith in God that God can provide. But I did something with my faith. I sowed into the life of somebody else, and God brought it back to me super abundantly. If he did it for me, friends, he can do it for you as well. Now, let's see what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 11. Talking to the Corinthians about sowing. And he says this in 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Jump down to verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So he's talking about what kind of law here? It's a spiritual law in the kingdom of God. It's the spiritual law of giving and receiving seed time and harvest. Amen? Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And in the physical, it works the same way, right? If you sow orange seeds, what do you get? You get oranges eventually, right? If you sow apple seeds, what do you reap? Apples. You sow grape seeds, what do you reap? It also works in the emotional realm. If you sow seeds of love, in the future, when you need love, you'll reap what? Acts of love. If you sow seeds of bitterness and discord, your life is going to be full of discord and strife. And it's the same way in the spiritual. If you sow into the life materially of somebody in greater need than yourself, I'm here to tell you today that God will bring it back to you in a multiplied fashion. Now, I want to make this one note. Okay. There's been a teaching in the body of Christ that you sow, you give into the kingdom of God financially in order to get. That's not what I'm trying to talk about today. I'm not talking about giving to get, because that's what kind of giving? That's selfish giving. We're not giving into God's kingdom. We're not giving to somebody else just to get back financially. What should be our ultimate motivation for giving materially into the church and into the life of somebody else? What should be our motivation? Not to get, but we give why into God's kingdom? We give why into the life of somebody else? The motivation should be what?
Love.
Love for God and love for others. Compassion for other people. Now let me tell you this. If you sow into the life of somebody else because you love God and you love that person, you love people, your motivation is love for God and love for people, the naturally flowing result, the byproduct, will be material increase, financial increase in your life. But remember that. We're to sow into God's kingdom. We're to sow into other people's lives financially and materially, not just to get back materially, but we sow because we love God, because we walk in compassion towards others. And when you do that, the byproduct will be material and financial provision. Is that making sense today? All right, one other account, 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings 17. Actually, 1 Kings 17. Excuse me. 1 Kings 17. Verse 7. The widow of Zarephath. I want to point out a few things from this historical account. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land, concerning Elijah. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon, verse 9, and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I might have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid, go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Now, let's look at this widow woman. You might feel like her today. She was at the end of her rope. She was about to give up on life. She said, Elijah, I'm gathering a few sticks, make a meal for myself and my son, and we're going to die. I feel as good as dead, and you might feel like that today. But the word of the Lord came to the widow woman through whom? Through the prophet Elijah. He said, first make a small cake for me. Sow it into my life, because this is what God says. If you do it, your supply will not run out. It will be supernaturally multiplied. And what did the widow do? She did what? She did exactly what Elijah told her to do. Now, what was this woman's motivating force? Driving force. Was it giving just to get? Selfish giving? I don't think so. Because the kingdom of God is not about selfishness. The kingdom of God is about selflessness. Dying to self, right? So this woman, her motivating force for giving into the life of Elijah was what? For giving this cake into his life. What was her motivating force?
She'd keep living.
Her love for God. She obeyed the word of God through Elijah. She feared God. She had faith in God. Not only that, but she loved, she was driven with, she was moved with compassion for another human being. Elijah, would you agree? So her motivating force for sowing this cake into the life of Elijah was love for God and compassion for Elijah. Would you agree? What was the byproduct of her obedience? Supernatural provision and abundance. Now, as I said earlier, not only was she and her son provided for, but God so supernaturally provided for her and gave her increase that he made her a blessing. He blessed her in order to be a blessing to whom?
Elijah.
To somebody else as well, Elijah. Because what does the word of God say? It says, she went away and did as Elijah had told her, so there was food every day for whom? It doesn't say just the woman and her family. It says, for Elijah, the woman, and her family. God had blessed this woman in order to be a blessing. He not only brought about provision in her life, material provision, he brought about supernatural abundance, where she had more than enough. In other words, she didn't have enough just for herself and her family. She had so much that she was able to bless others as well. And if God did it for her, friends, he can do it for you financially and materially. What did this woman have in God? She had what? She had love for God. She had faith in God. What did she do with her faith? She added action to her faith. She did something with her faith. What did she do? She was obedient, yes. She made a cake. Took some action for Elijah. And then she took that cake and said, here, Elijah, it's yours to satisfy your hunger. And he ate. She added action to her faith, and God just miraculously came through for her. You know, her setback was turned into a comeback. Supernatural provision. And the God that we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. If he could do it for a widow, he can do it for you. What is he looking for? He's looking for what? What does he honor? What does he honor? We talked about it. What does God honor? Love and faith for God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means with faith, it is possible to please God. So she had faith, and she did something with her faith. Let me ask you today, do you have faith in God? Do you have that knowing that you know deep down on the inside that your miracle is hanging in the balance, that God can do it for you, that he can bring about provision, not just provision, but financial abundance in your life? Do you believe it? Not only do you believe it, do you believe it doubtlessly, without the shadow of a doubt entering your heart and mind? Do you? Say it with me today. I believe without the shadow of a doubt that God can do it for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Faith is knowing that you know that you know that God can do it for you. Do you know that you know that you know that God can give you a job? So most times he's not going to just drop a bunch of money into your lap. Oh, I just know that I know that I know that God can provide for me. Sitting around all day and twiddling your thumbs and believing for this financial miracle to be dropped into your lap. It's not going to happen. Most likely. It's not going to happen. You got to know that you know that you know that God can do it for you, but you got to kind of get up from where you're at and start doing something with that faith that you have in God. Don't just sit around. Start working. Start filling out applications. Start interviewing. You know, start being faithful to your employer, to your boss. And God will provide for you. He will supernaturally provide for you to the point of abundance, overflow in your life. Amen?